All right, we're hot?
We're good.
All right. Well, welcome everybody to our Wednesday night teaching. Look, if y'all have any questions in the middle of any time, I know we call it Bible study, and only one man comes, always does the talking. So, but if y'all have a question or something, just let y'all know. It's to interact with everybody. But I'm going to share with y'all what was laid upon my heart to share this week and from last week, because I didn't make it. So understanding Yah's likes and dislikes. How many know that's so important? That is so, so important. And we're gonna it's Torah portion 48, and we're gonna do our best to try to wrap up Shoftim. And it's Hebrew word for judges. And it's found in Devarim, Deuteronomy 16, 18 through 21, 9, and Isaiah, Yeshayahu, 51, 12 through 52, 12. That was so important reading too. I read that today, even though I think I jumped on it last week, but that was still so important. Anyway, the topics in the Porsche. I want to cover these topics because we need to know where we're at in Shoftim. I know we go straight to the Word and we kind of bypass the topics, and it's for our reading, but I just like to go back and cover because I want to show you how it's so important. We went from Ekev to Re'eh to Shoftim. Of course, we had our Teruah service in between. But we have to see, I don't want to get too hard on it. Let me just read that. How so important these last three Torah portions was. Because it not only affected us, it affected our children and our grandchildren. If you haven't paid attention to that. And I'm going to show you in the scripture what happens if we don't do what it says, if we don't teach our children these commands. That's why I texted last week my children. I said, Dad, my son and my daughter. I'm sorry that I let y'all down as a dad and teach, because I should have been teaching y'all this stuff. Because now I see that the effects of where their life, where they're at, their fruit, they're not producing righteous, right fruit like we should. We should have been teaching them. And, you know, it's always been there. It's always been there. We just hadn't took our time to really look at it and dive. I'm so glad we're going through it now, because I'm going to show you in the scripture what happens to our generation. You say, is it in there? It's been in there. And we can't afford to fail them anymore. Or in time to come. If we don't remain steadfast and unmovable, unshaken, what are their chances of making it? So Moshe instructs the people of Israel to appoint judges and law enforcement officers in every city. Justice shall you pursue. He commands them, and you must administer it without corruption or favoritism. You know, that's important. Because why? You're going to talk about how the bribe blinds the eyes of the righteous. He said, that don't happen today. Okay, you believe that. Crimes must be meticulously investigated and evidence thoroughly examined. A minimum of 2 credible witnesses is required for conviction and punishment. In every generation, says Moshe, there will be those entrusted with the task of interpreting and implying the laws of the Torah. According to the law that they will teach you and the judgment they will instruct you, you shall do. You shall not turn away from the thing that they say to you, to the right nor to the left. Well, you know, that was important. We see a beautiful prophecy of the one who would come and speak God's words and how all should listen to him in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. I mean, you know, we read that Torah portion every Shabbat. Man, it's so important. Where God proclaims that he will send a prophet like unto Moshe, and we see the fulfillment of this in Yehoshua, Nazareth, and we find that this Yeshua fulfills this in over 30 different ways. Yehoshua fulfilled it over 30 different ways. That's so much, boy, we leave behind on the table, I tell you. Shoftim also includes the prohibition against idolatry and sorcery, laws governing an appointment and behavior of a king, and guidelines for the creation of cities of refuge for the inadvertent murderer, also set forth as many of the rules of war, the exemption from battle for one who has just built a home, planted a vineyard, married, or is afraid and soft-hearted. I mean, that was so important that Pastor brought that out. We needed to hear that. The requirement to offer terms of peace before attacking a city, and the prohibition against wanton destruction of something of value, exemplified by the law that forbids to cut down a fruit tree when laying siege. In this context, the Torah makes a famous statement, for a man is a tree of the field. You know, I ask that question. Why you want to cut it down? It's a fruit tree. You don't like fruit. Maybe you might not like that kind of fruit, but your neighbor does. So why cut it down? He's concerned about everything. It's his creation. He created it all. You don't think he's not concerned about it? The poor shall conclude the law of the Elah the special procedure to follow when a person is killed by an unknown murderer and his body is found in a field, which underscores the responsibility of the community and its leaders, not only for what they do, but also for what they might have prevented from being done. And I promise you, we're not going to get to that. That's a whole nother. I was looking into it, but I really didn't have, because I had so much on my plate already, I didn't have room for this. So I know we're going to get to tonight, so I didn't try to go that way. The Torah portion is called Shoftim, which is a plural of the root word Shafat, Strong 8199, which means judge, to judge, to govern, rule, rule, or execute judgment, judges and officers, which you appoint within all your gates. All right, so now we got some of the foundation laid. I mean, you know, Yehovah's word, these past two portions, I can't help, I'm going to touch on Ray A a little bit because I wasn't here last week, and I got to show you that without Ray A, you don't have Shoftim. Because Ray, he wants you to see, remember what it is? See our condition before what? Before we enter into the land. And remember where we at? We're by Mount Gerizim and we're by Mount Ebal. And right here, we're in the valley of Shechem. We got to make a decision what we're going to do, because it's going to affect our seed after us. So he wants man to see where we're at, his condition. And when I was going through this, my slide, my notes from last week, it brought me back to the laver. Let me read you something. It is very interesting to notice that the bronze used to make the laver came from the mirrors of serving women who serve at the entrance of the tent of meeting, which implies that the laver of bronze was like a mirror that could reflect and expose. The scripture for that is Shemot, Exodus 38:8. So you'll see about the serving women, how this, that's a true statement from serving women who served at the tent of meeting. So men are not always alone, it's women included. But it's so important when I look at the laver, because why? Where was the laver positioned at? Right before the tent of meeting, before you enter in the most holy place. So this is where, and Ray A wants us to see that, because we're about to enter into a land of where Yehovah provided for his people, that what we've been promising for years, that we're about to enter into. Because right now we're getting close to the end of Devarim. Moshe is about to die, and Yehoshua is going to take us to the land. Well, we know there's rules. You just don't go in his land and act all like you own it. He said, there's some things that I'm still required for you to do. Because why? I'm going to show you here in a little bit that this generation has gone into, I mean, you know, they die off. Not long after they're in the land, after several years, after Yehoshua dies, after 110 years, that generation dies. There's another generation coming up. So it'd be like Miss Casey, next generation after us. She's in the land. So what do? We have to teach her these Shoftims. And I'm going to show you that. But first of all, I think this is one of the spots right here where we have failed. Because right now, some of us, we're not in the land because we died off in the wilderness. So some of us is not even here. But thank God for Yehoshua and Caleb. Because why? The scripture said they had a different spirit. So they're there. So I mean, when I look out tonight, I see some Yehoshua. I see Caleb. They're still holding on despite or what's going on. But I believe right here, I believe this is where the church has failed some of us. In Devarim chapter 5, and this is stuff, I'm going to go over some stuff that we covered already. Verse 27. For you, is that, now this is after we're hearing the Ten Commandments. This is this new generation now that Yehovah is speaking to with Moshe. He says, you go near and hear all that Yehovah Elohim says and speak to us all that Yehovah Elohim says to you. And we shall hear and do it. And Yehovah heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. And Yehovah said to me, I have heard the voice of the word of this people, which they have spoken to you. And they have done well in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them. That was so important. That caught my attention. To fear me and to guard all my commands always. Not sometime. Always. We have to have that heart always for him. So that it might be well with them and with their children forever. So it ain't just you, moms and dads out here tonight. This is the promise to our children. Go, say to them, verse 30, say to them, return to your tent, but you, Moshe, that's here tonight. You stand here by me and speak to all, and let me speak to you all the commands and the laws and the right ruling which you are to teach them. How many Moshes we got here tonight? Yehovah is telling you, there's more commands than just 10 commandments. I'll be just where the church failed. Because they read the 10 commandments and they moved on. They didn't get to this part. And teach them and shall do them in the land which I, what are we talking about? In the land which I am giving them to possess. So you mean there's more than just 10? Yes. Way more. And we're going to try to cover as fast as I can because I know I'm precious for time tonight. But this is what he said. Moshe, tell them go home. But that's more stuff I want to tell you so you can teach them. So that's more for us to learn. You said, what in the world can we learn more tonight? What is this boy going to teach? We don't have Kev. We don't have Ray. We don't have Shoftin. What more can we learn? I'm glad y'all asked me that. Because I'm going to show you. We're going to keep digging, diving into the scripture. Let's look at chapter 11. I'm just building on the foundation that's laid. We ain't even got to the message yet. Chapter 11, verse 19. And you shall teach them to your children. Let me back up one. Let's go to 18. And you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart. Because what he just talked about, I just read him. If we only had a heart for him to keep his command and teach our children, and shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate, so that your days and the days of your children are increased on the soil of which Jehovah swore to your fathers to give them. Notice the words. As the days of the heavens on the earth. This is not only for us, parents. These are for our children. What we do matter for our children. And not only for our children, our grandchildren. Some of us who have grandchildren here. That's out there. I'm going to show you in the scripture what happens. If we don't grab hold of these commands, it's going to be tough for our children. I'm telling you. That's what I said. Ray A really hit home for me. Because this was tough. Because I failed as a parent. And it's hard to try to make up ground that you've lost for years. It's very hard. Because they had their own mind. They had their own way of thinking. And you're going to look in the scripture, what happens when they get there, and the scripture is going to tell us that. They had their, when they do things their way, when there's no sovereign, because the scripture talks about when you have a sovereign, this is what he need to do. But you're going to see what, I'm going to show you in the scripture, what he did. They don't have a sovereign. They did what's right in their own eyes. And we'll see how destructive that is. I'm trying to follow my notes here, because boy, me and my notes. Let's go to chapter 12. And these are, in verse 1, these are laws. Now, I'm going to cherry pick scripture a little bit, but I'm going to stay within the context of what I'm talking about, because people love cherry picking scriptures. So I'm going to show them in the context how it, when you, it's okay, it's fine. As long as you leave it where it fits. Don't just try to throw it out in left field. So just bear with me, look, while we go through this. These are the laws, in verse 1, and right rulings, which you guard to do in the land, which Jehovah Elohim of your father has given you to possess, all the days that you live on the soil. For as long as you're breathing, we breathe his air, we need to keep his commands. Completely destroy all the places where the nations which you are dispossessing serve their mighty ones on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. Now we're going to come back to that, because that's where the message is at, on that completely destroy. Because when you don't follow Yehovah's way, if you just partially destroy it, you're going to see things happen where you should have completely just destroyed them. But when you, a little leaven, we know what happens. Leaven's the lump. That word is abad, Strong's H6. When you look it up, it means to annihilate, exterminate, get rid of them. If he's telling you to do it, then we should do it. And we had it last week. If that prophet, that dreamer of a dream, he dies, not today's time, we're not going out physically to kill nobody. But the word that he speaks, kill that. Has no root. Shouldn't take place. Chapter 13, verse 4. Walk after Yehovah your Elohim and fear him and guard his commands and obey his voice and serve him and cling to him. I know you just gotta go back sometimes, because that's what his word does. His word takes you right back to where we need to be, to so what we can do, what? See ourselves. Because what, look, I'm about to get to Yeshua here, is what he says. Let's go to 16. Let's skip. Let's go to where we're at right here. This was Shoftim. He says, appoint judges and officers within all your gates, which Jehovah your Elohim is giving you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous right ruling. Do not distort right ruling. Do not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Follow righteousness, righteousness alone, so that you live and inherit the land which Jehovah your Elohim is giving you. So he keeps talking about this land, inherit the land, because this is where we're at. And this is what we're all striving for. We're all striving for that land that's promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and Yaakov. This is a land that's been promised years ago, that we can be in this land today. How awesome is that? That we are part of the promise. But let's look at something what Yeshua said. And we're going to come back to Devil Ring. Let's go to John. Before I get too far ahead of myself. John 3 and verse 3. You see, Yeshua gets into this conversation with Nicodemus. Yeshua answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he is unable to see the reign of Elohim. Now that see there, that's, of course, that's Idu, because that's all in Greek. But it had the same definition, pretty much almost as Ray 8. But he wanted, unless you're born again, and then what happens after that? We obey the commands. It's just plain and simple as that. There's no different set of rules after you read this. But he said you won't even see the land if you're not born again. And if we don't keep his commands, what he said, the land will vomit you out. You'll perish from the land. Nicodemus said to him, how is a man able to be born when he is old? Is he able to enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? He's just thinking, you know, in the flesh. Yeshua answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he is unable to enter into the reign of Elohim. So what are we talking about? About entering into the land. Because that's where, after all, that is the goal. Eternal life with him in the land. But there's some qualification. There's some shoftims, things that we got to follow. If not, it's going to be very difficult for you to make it. I don't care how many preachers come preach your funeral. It's not what the word says. I've been to a lot of, in my time, I've been to several funerals. Everyone makes it. Really? Is that what we're teaching? If that's the belief system, man, we don't have to come to Shabbat. Just be a good person. It's not what the scripture says. So this is what Yeshua was up against. Nonsense. That's out there. And there's a lot of it. Let's go back to Devarim. Chapter 17, verse 1. Do not slaughter to Yehovah your Elohim a bull or sheep which has any blemish, any evil matter, for that is an abomination to Yehovah your Elohim. We don't just give him anything we want. When we come here, we don't come here and, right here he's talking about, you know, make sure what would you it's your best. Because we see great examples of that. We always refer back to Cain and Abel because that's the first example we have with that. Giving him your best. Now, you don't come in here and they sing this song, come as you are. Yeah, you come with what you got, but you don't come acting crazy. He ain't accepting that. So do not slaughter. That's a command. He's telling us. So that's more than just, like I said, the first 10, the 10 words. There's more that we have to learn and live by. Look at verse 12. The man who acts arrogantly, boy, that was a good one, so as not to listen to the priest who stands to serve there before Yehovah Elohim, your Elohim, or to the judge, that man shall die. So you shall purge the evil from Israel, and let the people hear and fear, and no longer do arrogantly. Well, I tell you, if we live today and did these things, a lot of us probably missing. Because why? Yehovah don't want you to go in there and pollute his land. It's been polluted long enough. Now we're here to help him clean it up, which he can clean up all by himself. But he wants us. He loves us. But of course, are you going to be on the front line? Yep. When you come to the land, well, he talked about this land a lot, these past few Torah portions, because that's where we're at, which Yehovah your Elohim is giving you, and shall possess it, and shall dwell in it, you shall say, let me set a sovereign over me like all the nations that are around me. You shall certainly set a sovereign over you whom Yehovah your Elohim shall choose. Set a sovereign over you from among your brothers. You are not allowed to set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. All right. So that's, you say, well, Yehovah, all these rules. Yes, because it's his land. And this is what he teaches. And this is what we're going to teach. This is what he instructs us to do. The point is, he wants us to obey. It's really the bottom line. We're going to get to that.
Let's look at 18.
When you come into the land, here we go again, which Jehovah your Elohim has given you, do not learn to do according to the abominations of those nations. How many know there's a lot of abominations out there? You know that last Torah portion, Re'eh, it talks about an abominous city that had to be destroyed. And as I was going through my notes for last week, I thought about New Orleans. That's our closest city. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of abominable practice that goes on in New Orleans. That city will be judged by Yehovah, I promise you. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah was judged. And it's in the scripture. And I had it, but it's not, I don't think we're going to be able to get to that tonight. But I have friends out there. But look, when you get caught up in that kind of stuff, a lot of idol worship. That's a lot of that goes on in New Orleans. There's so much corrupt, we don't even know about it. We just see what our little news tell us. We don't see the hidden stuff. We don't see like Yeshua saying, get behind me, Satan, like he told Peter. Looking right through Peter, but can see the enemy. That's so much stuff that goes on in there that they just spoon feed us down here. And we think some. Then they throw in a nice story. But a lot of stuff's cover up. You know why? A lot of them probably accept bribes. They don't want you to know. That city, the scripture talking about, that city shall be judged. Believe me, it's in there. Let no one be found among you who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices divination, or user of magic, or one who interprets omens or sorcerers, or one who conjures spells or medium or spiritists, or one who calls up the dead. You don't think that goes on in your city right there? Whoever does these is an abomination to Yehovah. And because of these abominations, Yehovah, your Elohim, drives them out from before you. Be perfect before Yehovah, your Elohim. For these nations whom you are possessing do listen to those using magic and to diviners. But as for you, Yehovah, your Elohim, has not appointed such for you. I'm so thankful for that verse of scripture. But let me tell you, you can easily get caught up in all that junk up there if you're not careful. It's out there. There's so much out there. It's when you get so full of something, you have to spill out. So where it comes out, it comes down to the West Bank. Before you know it, it comes down further down the road. Trust me, that stuff goes on out here we don't know about. Let's not kid ourselves. One of the first places is in the schools. Oh boy. Now, let's go back to that verse, that chapter 12, because we got to deal with that. That completely destroyed all the places where the nations which you are dispossessing serve their mighty ones on the high hills, on the high mountains, and on the hills, and under every green tree. So what better way to cover this Shoftim than to go to the book of Shoftim? That's Judges, by the way. What can we learn from that? I'm glad y'all asked. I want to take it from the top, but we want to go straight to the point, because let's start at verse chapter 2, verse 6. Then Yehoshua dismissed the people, and the children of Israel each went to his own inheritance to possess the land. And the people served Yehovah all the days of Yehoshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Jehoshua, who had seen all the great works of Yehovah, which he had done for Israel. And Jehoshua, son of Nun, the servant of Yehovah, died 110 years old. I mean, you know, we see that same as Italian. Moshe died. So we know Yehoshua takes over, and he takes him to the and takes them into the land. Now when in the land, what he told him, you got to dispossess, you got to get rid of all these things. So we know that Yehoshua did his job. And here we are, now at the end of his life. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. And all that generation were likewise gathered to their fathers. And another generation arose after them who did not know Yehovah, nor the work which he had done for Yisrael. Grandchildren. So the generation died, and here's the next generation coming up. And what happened? Their parents failed because they didn't know. We can't afford to do that. We did it long enough. Thank God for his mercy and grace that we're still here and we can still be a light to them. And let them know, you know, there's a better way. And we shouldn't, you know, we made mistakes. It's okay to tell your children, look, I made a mistake. But trust me, I had to. And it's hard. It really is. And the children of Yisrael did evil in the eyes of Yehovah and served the Baals and forsook Yehovah the Elohim and forsook Yehovah Elohim of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim, and went after other mighty ones, of the mighty ones of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them and provoked Yehovah. I mean, you know, look, if you don't teach our children, they're going to learn it from somewhere. From your surrounding neighbors, from your surrounding cities. That's why it was so important for us to teach our children. That's why Ekev and Re'e and Shoftim was so important. I don't know about you, but as many times I read it, when I'm by myself in my quiet time, I weep because I failed. I can see my failure. And we should be learning this stuff. We should be eating it. Sometimes it is overwhelming. Because sometimes you sit there and just, man, what more can I do? One thing we have to obey, because we're still here. We're still breathing. We still have our children. Some of us still have our grandchildren. But we got to take this to heart. We really do. And the displeasure, verse 14, of Yehovah burned against Yisrael. Therefore he gave them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around. And they were unable to stand before their enemies any longer. This is in the land. I don't want you to think we're in the land now. And this is what's happening. So you wonder why Yehovah burned against them. He burns against us because we let him down. We let him down when we don't want to get up a little extra hour early before we go to work to spend a little time with him. Or just whatever the case may be. You let him down because you are his chosen one, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Sometimes we got to grow up and recognize our failures, our faults. We're feeling to go into Yom Kippur. This is the time where we should be practicing. What are we doing? Most holy time of the year is coming up, and we're still doing the same routine. Shame on us. Wherever they went out, the hand of Yehovah was against them. Wow, we don't want that for our children, our grandchildren. We don't want the hand of Yehovah against them. As Yehovah has spoken, and Yehovah has sworn to them, and they were distressed greatly. Then Yehovah raised up rulers. Here we go. That's Yeshoftim. Who saved them from the hand of those who plundered them. However, they did not listen to their rulers either, but went whoring after other mighty ones and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from the way of which their fathers walked, and obeying the commands of Yehovah, they did not do so. And when Yehovah raised up rulers for them, Yehovah was with the ruler and saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the ruler. So as long as that judge or whoever was in charge was alive, Yehovah took care of them. But the minute he died, there you go, they went right back. And look, I know, because I've been there. I've been there. This is not me fussing. It's just me to tell you, this is what happens when we leave his word and we don't focus. When we get too busy or too get wrapped up, remember, it's not us. It's not just us. It's our children and our grandchildren that's at stake. And it came to be when the ruler was dead that they would turn back and do more corruptly than their fathers, to go after other mighty ones, to serve them and bow down to them. They did not refrain from their practices and from their stubborn way. And the displeasure of Yehovah burned against Israel. And he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant that I commanded their fathers and had not obeyed my voice, I also shall no longer drive out before them any of the nation which Yehoshua left when he died. In order to try Israel by them, whether they would guard the way of Yehovah to walk in them as their fathers guarded them or not. How many know Yehovah, he tries us. He tests us to see how far we will go with him. Are we really in it to the end? Are we really going to endure to the end like he said? Remember, your life is on the line. Yeshua said, greater love had no man than a man would lay down his life for his friend. Are we willing to go that far for your friend? To lay down our lives for our friend, for our brother, for our sister? How far are we willing to go? This is the question. Look at a little footnote. And you shall remember in Deuteronomy 8:2. And you shall remember that Yehovah your Elohim led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether you guard his command or not. And we've seen this over and over and time. Guard, guard, keep, guard, shamar, keep his word. Love it. What more do we want? What more can he say? That this word, it said it's your life. Guard it with all your, because look, we want to protect ourselves. When somebody's out to do you harm, you guard your life. That's how he wants us to guard his word, with our life. Because it's his word. Because of why? It's life to us. Without it, we're dead. What else there is there? Pastor said it, couldn't say it more plainer. I don't read another book. There's more other books out there. There's novels, love story books and all. I don't read those other books. There's no life out of that. He said he couldn't say it more plainly. I finally listened to all of his teachings from last week today. I don't go read another book. It profits me nothing. What else is out there? This is right here. This is our life. This is what it is. Boy, and how important we needed that. So Yehovah left those nations without driving them out at once, and did not give them into the hand of Yehoshua. As long as Yehoshua was alive, let me tell you, at one time, you see where he had a little issue, a little hiccup, and they corrected it quick. But look, this is just the start of the story. Now, don't want to get to. Let's go to chapter 17. Now, this was last week's stuff that I was looking at, because it just reminded me, because you're going to see, and I'm going to get to it, when you do what's right in your own eyes, when they don't have a sovereign, how just the people just go, they go, wow. Let's take it from the top. I don't know if the last time you ever read these stories, but from chapter 17 to chapter 21, it's mind-blowing. It really is. And when I go back and I look at all these positions, where they at, this is all in the land, inherited land that they got. But you're going to see, let me see, it's in one of the other chapters. I don't know if we'll get to it. It talks about when Dan, it said Dan didn't inherit the land. It might be around chapter 20 or so like that. He said, and so that's what it says in here. But we know that's not the case. What he's talking about there, he's talking about he got his inheritance, but he didn't completely dispossess. So he's trying to, he needed more ground, basically. It said in chapter 17, there was a man from the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Milkiah. That's what, when you look up the Strong's. In English, we would just say Micah. And he said to his mother, the 1,100 pieces of silver, huh?
What book are you in?
Oh, Judges, chapter 17. I left chapter 2 and I went to 17.
Chapter 17?
Yes, sir. Okay. And he said to his mother, the 1,100 pieces of silver that were taken from you and on which you put a curse, even saying in my ears, look, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be Yehovah, blessed of Yehovah be my son. And he gave back the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother. His mother said, I had truly set apart the silver from my hand to Yehovah for my son to make a carved image and a molten image, and now I give it back to you. So once he found out his mama put a curse on it, you can have this money back, but his mom going to make him a carved image. What happened to the show team here? What happened to a calf and what happened to Ray A? What happened to all? It's like when you're going to read from chapter 17 to 21, it's like this last few chapters came out of left field because you don't even see where all the rules at, and they're in the land. And he gave back the silver, and he gave the silver back to his mother. And his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave them to the silversmith, and he made it into a carved image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Milkiah. Now, is that allowed? No. No, not none of this. Now the man, Milkiah, had a house of mighty ones and made a shoulder garment. How many know we know what that is? And house idols, and he ordained one of his sons who became his priest. Okay. In those days, there was no sovereign in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. See how it when it's like where we're at in Devarim, and when you get to Judges, it's like they lost everything. It's like they don't even know what's the right rulings anymore. We don't even know what Yah has in store for us anymore, because we forget, we don't guard His word. They live loosely, and we start doing things that seems right in our own eyes. Scripture don't allow that. But this is what's going on in these stories. And there was a young man from Bethlehem in Yehuda, from the clan of Yehuda, and he was a Levite, and he was sojourning there. And the man went out of the city of Bethlehem, Lehem in Yehuda, to sojourn wherever he could find a place. And he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Milkiah, as he journeyed. And Milkiah said to him, where do you come from? And he said to him, I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Yehuda, and I'm on my way to find a place to sojourn. And Milkiah said to him, dwell with me, be a father and a priest to me, and I'll give you 10 pieces of silver per year and a suit of garment and your food. And the Levite went in. Now, I'm going to pick on Pastor because he ain't here tonight. I'm sure maybe if you make Pastor an offer, he might come stay with you. Well, you know, sometimes when you read stuff like that, it makes you think of, just sometimes you can just picture in your mind, okay, he's offering him a job, basically. But I can't wrap my mind, how you going to ordain somebody? You ordain your own son to be a priest. And this guy, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. But he's not a priest. But I don't understand how you just, so this stuff is just crazy. It just don't make sense when you're going to read it. But this is what happens when you start doing what's right in your old eye. When you leave the foundation, the principle of Yehovah, these are the things you do. This is about the best I can make sense out of it, out of these stories. So the Levite agreed to dwell with the man, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. And Milcaiah ordained the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and he was in the house of Milcaiah. And Milcaiah said, "Now I know that Yehovah does good to me, since I have a Levite as a priest." And you make crazy comments like this. Yehovah is doing good to you? All right. Chapter 18. In those days, there was no sovereign in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, all the inheritance among the tribe of Israel had not fallen to them. Now, when I got to that, I was like, okay, we're about to go into the land, and they're about to fight and get all their stuff, and everybody's going to get their possession. So I really wasn't quite understanding that. So when you go back to, just hold your finger right there, Yehoshua. I think it's chapter 6. I think I wrote it down. No. Because we're talking about Dan. And when you go to chapter 19, it talks about inheritance for Simeon, inheritance for Zebulun, inheritance for Issachar, inheritance for Asher, inheritance for Naphtali, inheritance for Dan. So that kind of threw me off on a puzzle right there, because I didn't understand. How you mean you didn't got no inheritance, Danny? And it says right here in Joshua they got the inheritance, because he gave it to them. So the seventh lot came out of the tribe of children of Dan for their clans, and it gives their border. This is the inheritance of the tribe of children of Dan, their clans, their cities with their villages. So what I had to do in my investigation was go and look up where Dan was at, his tribe, next to Yehuda, and I think Ephraim was right above him. But what happened, and when you go, I think this is what I failed to write down. Because what he told them, go in and dispossess everything. So bear with me just 1 second. I think I lost. I had it in my mind when I was writing it all down. I got it in all of my notes. I wrote it all down, the name of these places, all what they had. Let me just go back for a second. Just bear with me just a minute. I got to show you that they got all their possessions. But I forgot to write down where I wrote it all down. And I know what I've done. I was looking at it on my phone and I pulled it up. But anyway, I'm under the gun here when it comes to this. Under the pressure. Because it talks about, I wrote down, it's all the different name of the places. And I'm going to find, I apologize, I'm going to get it back for y'all. But it goes back to all the places where they went, and they didn't do their jobs. They didn't possess the property that each one of them got. Dan didn't dispossess his people. Naphtali didn't dispossess his people. They all failed in their task of what they said on chapter 12, what I said about 12, completely destroy. That's what I wanted to show y'all, but I forgot where I pulled it up at. Let me see. It might be back in the beginning where I read it. My wife always asks me, babe, you ready? Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Well, I apologize. I'll get it back for y'all. But back to chapter 18, because it said the inheritance didn't fall. But I show you back in Joshua that it did fall. But what happened, Dan didn't possess everybody that he was supposed to get rid of. Maybe one of y'all might find it if y'all Google it. And I'll go back and if you can point me in the right direction. And what happened? They failed in their quest to dispossess the land where they went. They let people just linger on. And that's what, you get that little leaven, just leavens the whole lump. When they should have completely annihilated everybody, but they didn't. They failed to uphold the word of Yehovah. It said, and the children of Dan sent five men of their clan, brave men from Zoar to Eshtol, to spy out the land and search it. And they said to them, go search the land. So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Milcah, and spent the night there. When they were near the house of Milcah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite, and turned aside and said to him, who brought you here? What are you doing in this place, and what do you have here? And he said to them, Milcah did such and such for me, and he hired me, and I have become his priest. And they said to him, please inquire of Elohim, and we shall know whether the journey on which we are going is prosperous. Now, here he's taking word from a guy that we just learned in the Torah portion, be careful who you hear, I'm a prophet. So they have to be careful right here in this chapter 18 who they're getting this word from. Because he was just an ordained priest by this guy's house. So this all matches to me in the Torah portion. When I go back and I read it. And what let me try to skip down a little bit. So of course they spy out. And it tells them about the men. I mean, you know, and what they do, once they spy out the guy's area, they go back home and they go get the group. So, and let me go down to verse 11. And 600 men of the clan of the Dantites went up from there, from Zoar and Eshtol, armed for battle. And they went up and encamped in Kirjath Yearim in Yehuda. Therefore, they call that place Mahanath Dan to this day. See, it is west of Kirjath Yearim. And they passed over from there to the mount of Ephraim and came to the house of Milcah. And the five men who had gone to spy on answered and said to their brothers, do you know that there are in these houses a shoulder garment and house idols and carved image and a molten image? And now you know what to do. And they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite man, the house of Milcah, and greeted him. And 600 men armed for battle, who were the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. And the five men who had gone to spy the land went up, and entering there, they took the carved image and the shoulder garment and the house idols and the molten image, while the priests stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed for battle. And these went into Milcah's house and took the idol and the shoulder garment and the house idols and the molten image. Then the priest said to them, what are you doing? And they said to him, be silent. Put your hand over your mouth and come with us and be a father and a priest to us. For it is better for you to be a priest to the household of one man or that you be a priest to a tribe, a clan of Israel. Now this might not seem much to you when you read it, but I'm just a bribe, blind. Because he's already had a job. Now we're offering you a little more. If you had to just sit down and you see the connections and you let the word just minister to you, just, This is what I see when I read it, how it just, everything that we were learning prior to all this endeavoring, when you get to this, it's like there's no more rules anymore. And the children of Dan, verse 30, set up for themselves the carved image, and Jonathan, son of Gershom, son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day the land was taken into exile. And they set up for themselves the carved image of Micaiah, which they had made all the days that the house of Elohim was in Shiloh. They were supposed to destroy all these things. But this is what happened when, like I said, now these are all our grandchildren later on, because we failed at our job. Now you see the chaos. Wait, this is nothing. This is light stuff that I'm reading. Let's go to chapter 19. And it came to be in those days when there was no sovereign in Israel. He's reminded us there's still no sovereign. People are still doing what seems right in their own eyes. And there was a certain Levite sojourning on the further side of the mountains of Ephraim, and he took for himself a concubine of Bethlehem in Yehuda. And his concubine committed whoring against him and went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Yehuda, and was there 4 new moons of days. And you see, all this is in the land. And this is why we go through the Torah portion every day, every week. And he tells, guard, guard. Because why? Because we're about to enter. We get into the time of the year, these feast time of the year, but that Yeshua can return. And we're about to enter the land. But you think, because we get there, we think we forget his rules? No, his rules still apply in the land. We can't forget that. We can never forget that. And her husband arose and went after her to speak to her heart. That was so important when I got to that part. So why would you still want someone after you committed whoring on you? Why would Jehovah still want us to speak to our heart? And we know that. We've read this story many times before, because we had this in Hosea. Remember Hosea chapter 2, I think it's verse 14. I put it down in my notes a while back. He said, I want to speak tenderly to her heart. I'll tell you what, let me just hold your finger right there. And I don't want to just tell you words. Because I want to speak right about him. I don't just want to say, well, just take my word for it because Scott said it. He says, therefore, see, I am alluring her and shall lead her into the wilderness and shall speak to her heart. So we see the same thing happens over here in Judges and Shoftim, where the husband still wants his bride. It's beautiful. It really is. And she committed whoring against him. And her husband arose and went after her. Because, you know, Yahweh still goes after us. He still goes after our children. Look, when we were out there, he still was concerned about us. So we see this, this ministers to me so much when I read this part. To speak to her heart and bring her back, having his servant and a couple of donkeys with him, and she brought him into her father's house, and the father of the young woman saw him, and he was glad to meet him. Now, when I get to this point of story, I think about my father-in-law. Well, because you see, and his father-in-law, the young man, woman's father, took hold of him, and he dwelt with him 3 days. And they ate and drank and spent the nights there, nights. And it came to be on the fourth day, as they arose early in the morning, and he prepared to leave, but the young woman's father said to his son-in-law, refresh your heart with a piece of bread, and afterward go your way. So they sat down, and the two of them ate and drank together. And the young woman's father said to the man, please agree to stay all night and let your heart be glad. Don't even want to let him leave. Well, that's a good father-in-law. Love his son-in-law. And when the man arose to go, his father-in-law urged him. So he spent the night there again. And he arose early in the morning on the fifth day to go. But the young woman's father said, please refresh your heart. So they delayed until afternoon, and both of them ate. And the man arose to go, he and his concubine and his servant. But his father-in-law, the young woman's father, said to him, see, the day is now drawing toward evening. Now you see sometimes, and this is where we got to be careful. As studious, as students of the word, we know, we would think, we see the word see in English, sometimes we think it's re. That's not always the case. So we have to be careful with translation. Because sometimes it's another word. But we know re means see or behold, but this is not always the case. Because sometimes, like I said, what we want to do is speak right about him. And the scripture tells us, it warns about that if we don't. See, the day is drawing toward evening. Please spend the night. See, the day is coming to an end. Stay here and let your heart be glad. And you shall ride early tomorrow for your journey. And you shall go to your tent. But you're talking about a father-in-law wants his son-in-law to stay with them. My father-in-law told me, run. But that's okay, though. I ran right to her. I wasn't running away. I don't know what his thinking was, but I know what my thinking was. That was just funny. Oh, boy. But the man would not stay that night. And he arose and left and came to a place opposite Yebus, that is, Jerusalem. And with him were the two saddled donkeys and his concubine with him. And they were near Yebus, and the day was far spent. And the servant said to his master, come, please, let us turn aside into this city of the Jebusites and spend a night in it. And his master said to him, let us not turn aside here into the city of foreigners who are not of the children of Israel, but we shall pass over to Gilboa. So we ain't messing with the strangers. We're going to go by our own people. Wow. And his servant said to him, come, let us draw near to one of these places and spend the night in Gilboa or in Ramah. And they passed over and went their way, and the sun went down on them near Gilboa, which belongs to Benjamin. And they turned off there to go in to spend the night in Gilboa. So he went in and he sat down in the open square of the city, for no one would take them into his house to spend the night. Now we know that the Torah portion we've learned that we ought to be kind to a fellow brother, especially if your own people. What would Abraham, what he was doing? He was always expecting. He was showing hospitality. That's what we're talking about here. But see, an old man came in from his work in the field at evening, who also was from the mountain of Ephraim, and he was sojourning in Gilboa, where the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he lifted up his eyes, he saw the traveler in the open square of the city. And the old man said, where are you going and where do you come from? And he said to him, we are passing over from Bethlehem into Yehuda to the other side of the mountains of Ephraim. I am from there. And I went to Bethlehem in Yehuda, and I am going to the house of Jehovah. But there is no one taking me into his house. Yet is both straw and fodder for our donkeys, and bread and wine for myself, and for your female servant, and for the young man who is with your servant, there is no lack of any matter. So we got our own stuff. Ain't like I'm asking you for your food. And he just want a place in shelter. Why? Because where that's security in the house. We learn all this through the Torah portion. He said, what this got to do with the Torah portion? We got to keep reading. And he brought him into his house, and gave fodder to the donkeys, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. Verse 22. Huh? And the old man said, peace be with you. However, let all your needs be on me, only do not spend the night in the open square. And he brought him into his house and gave fodder to the donkeys, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. So remember what happened? When you're in the house, the old man, look, you're under my rules. I'm going to take care of you. Just like Yehovah teaches us in our Torah, when you're in his house, you're under his rule. You're under his protection. It's his job to guard us, just like this old man was. But we can see this story about to make a twist. Because where? We see the blessing and the curse. We see the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because everybody thinks that tree of the good, that we want to do right in our own eyes, but we don't see the evil that's attached to it. And when I got to these stories in Judges, I'm like, man, I know I must have read them somewhere, but you can see how it all fits and tie in to our Torah portions. They were making their hearts glad and see the men of the city, sons of Belial, surrounding the house, beating on the door, and they spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring out the men who came to the house so that we know them. We've heard that story before. We know where this is going. But the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, no, my brothers, I beg you, do no evil, since this man has come into my house. Do not do this folly. Because it's something how it takes you right back, to Sodom and Gomorrah. Takes you right back to Lot, that same story. And this is what, I believe this is what Yehovah's Torah portion, really about. They're about to always show us, bring us right back into his word, how we should act, how we shouldn't act, how we should not take matters in our own hands, we should not do what's right in our own eyes. And sons of Belial, we just had that in our Torah portion. Because when he said, you put them to death. Because why? They spoke apostasy against Jehovah. Look, verse 24, look, here is my maiden daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now and humble them and do with them what is good in your eyes. Do not do such a foolish matter to this man. But the men would not listen to him. So the men took hold of his concubine and brought her out to them, and they knew her and rolled themselves on her all night until morning and let her go when the day began to break. Now, I don't have to explain that. And as morning appeared, the woman came back and fell at the door of the man's house where her master was till it was light. And her master rose up in the morning, opened the doors of the house, and went out to go on his way, and saw his concubine falling at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, up, rise, and let us go. But there was no answer. And he took her on the donkey, and the man rose and went to his place. And he came into his house and took a knife, and took hold of his concubine, and cut her up limb by limb into 12 pieces, and sent them throughout the borders of Yisrael. This is the kind of stuff that happens in the land where Yehovah said, do not do. When you don't guard his word. Look what's happened here. It's tragic. Tragic. Now you got to be a man. I don't know what are you. When you can take your wife, because he said it was his wife, a concubine, whatever you want to call her, and take her and cut her up into pieces and send them to all the tribes throughout the land. Because why? Now the city had to be judged. This was the last Torah portion I didn't get a chance to finish, to get to. Because that city shall be judged. And we're going to get to that. Maybe not. And it came to be that all who saw it said, this has never been, and there has not been seen the likes of this from the day the children of Israel came up from the land of Mizraim until this day. Set your heart on it, take counsel, and speak up. Tragic. This is horrible when you read this. But this the stuff in life that people go through, you say that don't happen today, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. And Yehovah has to judge this. So you just keep... So in the next chapter, and I'm not going to read it because my card came up, a 10-minute card, but I just want to explain. Now they're going to go up and have war with Benjamin against their own brothers. Because why? This was done in Benjamin's land. This was this people, their own people. They did this to a fellow brother. This is what happened. This is what happened when you leave the principles of Yehovah, when you get outside the boundaries, when we don't teach our children about Ekev and Ra'eh and Shoftim. When we stay silent and we don't speak out and teach them right, this is the kind of stuff that goes on when there's no sovereign and people do what's right in their own eyes. Oh, that's where it was at? Thank you, babe.
And if you're looking for Dan in particular, it's going to be at verse 34.
Oh, there we go. Right, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I was looking. My bad, I don't know how. I got it right there. Look, I had it right there. See my notes, they moved on the page. But when you go to Judges chapter 1, 27 through 36, you see that Manasseh, Ephraim, Zebulun, Naphtali, Dan, they didn't completely dispossess. That's what I was looking for earlier. And then what was the trick was, not say a trick, it was to try to learn the names of all these people. I wrote them down to try to say them, but I think I'm going to skip that. You can go back and do it for yourself. Go back and sit down and listen to each one on your strong. If they ever did what Yehovah told them, completely, utterly destroy in Devarim, you wouldn't have this problem in the land, in his land. So I wonder why he said the land had to vomit you out. And you just, it's terrible. The latter end of Judges is terrible. After Samson died, the last judge until Samuel, this is the kind of stuff that went on in the land, in his land. You think he's going to allow that in the future when Yeshua comes? You think this kind of nonsense is going to happen? I guess not. That's why he's up to us right now. He's entrusting us to teach our families, our children, our loved ones, not to do these things in the land. Why? Because it's for, like I said, it's not only for us, for our lives. It's for the lives of our family, our children, that we ought to teach, that we would live. So like I said, back in chapter 20, They go in a fight with Benjamin. It was even more funny than that. After they used the same tactic like Brother Chad talked about a while back, how they ambushed him. This is what chapter 20 was about. They drew him out from the city, and they had some behind him, and when they seen the smoke rise up, they knew it was in a bind. Their own brother. But Benjamin, because they were getting word from outside source. And they couldn't beat Benjamin at first. But when you get a little further down, Pincus is on the scene. Because why? Eleazar is dead. So Pincus goes inquire to Yehovah. And Yehovah says, yes, now you go out and dispossess them. So you read about the fight, the war that goes on against their own brothers. Then turn around the very next chapter. Boy, it almost gets comical. But they're brothers. And yet only Yehovah, his hand, can masterly put them back together as a unit. So that's a lot to learn. That I apologize. Like I said, that just when I'm going through my studies, man, I just see this picture in my head of how he just, without him, without his rules, without his Torah in our lives, ain't no telling what you do. Ain't no telling who you go cut up. Ain't no telling who you would kill. Or how we would act. I'm so thankful that he had mercy upon us. And he has us in the spot where he has us right now to learn about him. I mean, we need it. I mean, this is, what else is out there? There's nothing. There's nothing else out there that you want to grab hold to but his word. That it, he that endures until the end. That's what we have to hold on to. So anyway, my 5-minute card came up. I'm so thankful and to give an opportunity to come and just look at it and just share, you know, when it's on your heart, when it's your turn to speak and what you have to say and some things that, like I said, look like my words, they move on my notes. But anyway, but the point was, without him, this world, you can imagine a world, living in a world with no rules right now, without him. Imagine how chaotic our life would look without him. We've all experienced that at some point in time in our life. Without him, we're dead. Spiritually, we're dead without him. Physically, you're just a dead man walking. Let's remember our pastors.